Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And now, Chuck and Winkler, two townies talking Wisconsin sports, covering nothing but your favorite teams. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler, Chuck Freeman, Ryan Horvath is here. We'll talk to Eric Name at 8:35. We'll talk to Brian Scalabrine at 9 o'clock as we preview Bucks Raptors Game 2 tonight. Game 3 is on Sunday. We'll talk about them both come Monday. It should be all right, I would think. We started the show today. Again, every hour that we do is podcasted. You can listen to them after the fact, commercial free. We started the show, we took a call from a good friend of ours, Tim in Fredonia, who is prone to call the show, and we appreciate it. He was telling us that his son is graduating college, is trying to get into the media business, and right out of college, he got an offer to go work in lacrosse as a multimedia journalist, so he'll be reporting, he'll be doing some camera work. First job out of college, $13 an hour.
If he takes it.
If he takes it. And we basically berated Tim to tell him, your son has to take that job.
Oh, yeah, without question.
I know Drake's banned on all these Milwaukee airwaves, but started from the bottom, now we're here.
If you got to start
at the bottom to get here.
If they were paying half of that, Bart, I would say, do it. You need to get your foot in the door if you want to be a broadcaster, you want to be in this business. And starting lacrosse is not a bad place to start.
No, it's a fine place to
start.
It
is. And you know what? Because he called me up off the air, and he said, Chuck, you were killing me on the air. No, I was just giving you some hard love with it. You should be telling your kid, don't be applying to our station, unless he's Bob Costas, lacrosse for him.
I mean, so the three of us can all give examples about the trials and tribulations, and Horvath's still currently going through it, but the stuff you have to do to get to where you want to get. And if you don't want to listen to Chuck or myself, listen to John Horst. This article that Yahoo put out, great piece on John Horst, written by Henry Bushnell. And here's how he described how John Horst, because this dude was working in a trailer park and then living in the trailer and was just grinding and grinding and grinding. And he was trying to work with the Detroit Pistons. So he eventually got an internship, which was for college credit, and then nothing. But he still wanted to stay on board. So he was offered by the Pistons, we can't pay you. I mean, you could still, I guess, keep working for free. We won't tell anybody. And he did it. So finally, after a year, the Pistons converted him into part-time employment where he got 30 hours a week and made $7 an hour.
And what's the timeline on this? How many years ago?
This was 06, 07.
Okay.
So 08. Okay.
So just think what you're doing in 06 and 07 and what John Horst was doing at the time.
Well, I kind of the same timeline. I was just out of college. I took a job, scratching and clawing. I took a job for $9 an hour. I was making $18,000 first job out of college.
I was working at Green Bay.
All right, so yeah, it's tough. John Horst, because he knew what he wanted to do. I don't think that as we try to get in a little preachy here and at least do some good in this world. I always tell kids, if you want to work somewhere, find a way to be in there in any way possible. You may not get the $80,000 a year job right away, but do it. So John Horst, your GM of the Bucks, who's probably going to be the executive of the year, to get started in the NBA, he had a part-time job. Eventually, they paid him with the Pistons, but they only gave him $7 an hour, and they only gave him 30 hours a week. He had to, of course, afford life, so he also would ref at the local Y. He would stock shelves at Bed Bath & Beyond. He would wake up early in the morning to scatter salt for a friend's snow removal business. He landed a late night shift at a FedEx location in Pontiac. Dude was basically had two full-time jobs. One that paid him nothing, which was his passion, and the other assortment of jobs to pay him a livable wage. He worked up, up, up eventually was so good that John Hammond needed him here. He moves to Milwaukee. Hammond's out. They do a search. John Horst is your general manager of the Milwaukee Bucks. That is a lesson for anybody coming out of school. If you want the job, focus on it. Know that you're going to have to go through trials and tribulations to get there, but never keep your eye off the prize. And if you work hard and do good things and be nice, it's an old Conan quote. He says, if you work hard and are a good person, great things will happen. And that's what's happened to John Horst.
What if you just work hard?
No, you got to be a good person.
You get a good person, do good work. But like Mike Budenholzer.
Sorry.
Mike Budenholzer. Yes. Mike Budenholzer, you know what he was doing 20 years ago? He was with the San Antonio Spurs, but he wasn't an assistant coach. He was a video coordinator. A video coordinator. That's how he got his break in the NBA. A video coordinator.
Eric Mangini of the Jets was like the same way. He was a video intern.
Ask John Gruden about his days as a coach in Green Bay. He was sleeping on the couch in the coach's office. He was sleeping on Holmgren's couch once in a while. He couldn't. I mean, he had no money. They weren't paying assistant coaches back then a lot of money in the early 90s. And look where John Gruden ended up. So, yeah, these guys who break into sports, they started very petty jobs like Horst was doing right there, or what Budenholzer was doing, or like many of these other guys. Mm-hmm. They're just looking to get a foot in the door.
So John Horst is my answer to the question, our question today, where you can win Power Passes to Summerfest. All 11 days. This is our final day of this week. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Use the hashtag CWTickets. We'll give away the passes to one person at random by the end of the show. Who's the most underrated sports figure? Any, it could be announcer, could be Freeman, could be an athlete, could be a coach, whatever. The most underrated sports figure in the state of Wisconsin. Tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan, hashtag CWTickets. I'm going to go with John Horst.
That might be the first time you've ever called me Freeman on this show.
Yeah, I didn't feel good.
But I like it, though. No, I like it.
No, I didn't call you Freeman.
No, I like it.
I called you Freeman. I didn't like
it. Yeah,
I like it.
That's okay.
I'm glad you brought attention to it.
I like it.
I didn't feel good about
it. What made you do that? But I like it, though.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm mad about it. But we'll get on.
Most underrated guy, I like Mike Moustakas. I think he's underrated. I think he's underpaid. Why he does not get a multi-year contract from anybody in the last couple of years is beyond me. I love Mike Moustakas. Sign this guy up long term with the Brewers, man. I'm all in on Moose.
My other answer would be Ryan Horvath.
Thank you.
Who's your most underrated guy?
Horvy?
You know,
other than yourself, you tweeted Aaron Rodgers.
Other than yourself.
Yeah, you can't say Rodgers and you can't say you.
Yeah.
Okay, so I would probably go, well, you know my thoughts on Chris Middleton. I find him to be highly underrated. You look at the last three games specifically, the shooting percentage has been awful, but just what he does on the defensive end, you know, he's not really getting to his spots the way he wants to. I think he's taken a lesser role with the team for the team to be better, I
Big
guess.
Time.
He's kind of yeah, sacrificed the most, I would say, easily on that team. So I would go Chris Middleton. Also, Lorenzo Cain. And I feel like in Kansas City, see, that's kind of tough because I feel like the diehard baseball fans obviously know who Lorenzo Cain is, but the guy's never won a gold glove, which is just ridiculous because he's one of the best defensive outfielders in the game, if not the best, in my opinion. I mean, look at the plays that he makes. But if you go to like Kansas City, he's a folk hero, kind of like Mike Moustakas is.
Yeah.
And the diehard baseball fans obviously all know who Lorenzo Cain is. But I would still say he's very, very underrated. I feel like Yelich, especially now, if you watch MLB Network, you know, he's on all the commercials, and he's finally starting to get some recognition. And in Miami, he was a good player, but he never really reached his full potential. So he's, you know, now starting to be known.
Two road home runs yesterday, too, so we can stop with that narrative.
He's ascending. But, I mean, Kane, he's paid like a big-time ball player. He's making $80 million.
Yeah, and then let me throw one more name in there. Devontae Adams I still find to be highly underrated when NFL analysts kind of break down the top receivers in the game. I think he should be number one because I think he's the best route runner in all the NFL.
You mean the guy that Bart wanted to cut a couple of years ago?
Well, I mean, he couldn't hang on to the ball. I think we all were
that guy, that Devontae Adams?
Yeah, I mean, he was looking rough there for a while.
What do you got to do that for, player?
Hey! That's what we do here on the show. You point out every time I said I would swim Lake Michigan if the Brewers didn't win the division title in 2014.
Well, yeah, you got to go swim Lake Michigan.
Yeah,
but
all right.
I mean, we're starting to rate him properly in the Wisconsin area. And, you know, a lot of the guys that are actually breaking down film know how damn good Davante Adams is. But I say he's the best receiver in the game because, yeah.
The Brewers will be division champs this year, not a swim across Lake Michigan.
Yeah, that was the old round table, Dennis Krause.
Is that TV. What you said on that one?
Yeah, it was May of 2014. You were probably in Iowa.
But I was going to say, like, physically gifted, you know, Odell Beckham Jr., Antonio Brown, you could throw me their statistics and tell me they're better receivers than Davante Adams, but they also need the ball a lot more than Davante Adams. They complain a lot. They're locker room cancer. So I'm going to say Davante Adams is the best receiver in the game in all of the NFL. I'll take him over anybody, and he's the most underrated in Wisconsin.
Where's the tweet? Here it is. September 1st, 2016, at Winks Things, if I were the GM of this team, I would cut Davante Adams or trade him for a sixth rounder. And I have not deleted that tweet, and about every 2 weeks it gets retweeted.
Oh, somebody goes back on you?
Hey, isn't that a good example of why we need to stop giving up on guys after year one, year two? Like, it's ridiculous that the Cardinals gave up on Josh Rosen after just 1 year, because it's a whole new world. College football to the pros, it's even different than jumping from the NBA or from college hoops to the NBA. You know, I'd say it's probably the toughest adjustment to make. Well, I would actually go baseball, because hitting major league pitching is ridiculous.
Ron Wolf always used to say, though, if you got a guy on your team and you drafted him, and no matter, or you're a free agent or whatever, no matter what you paid for him or the price you paid on the draft pick, if you got him on your field and you think the guy can't play, don't waste any time. Get rid of him.
But we always saw that Devontae was physically gifted. The route running's always been there. He just had trouble hanging on to the ball, which every once in a while he still does drop a pass. But
sure.
I mean, just the attitude he brings. He works harder. He's. I almost said something kind of creepy, but his body looks better every year. He's in better shape. He comes to training camp. He's never out of shape.
Yeah, get it, girl.
You know, I mean, look at Ezekiel Elliott right now. He looks like he's like almost 300 pounds. But Devontae, every offseason, and that's, I think it comes from working with guys like Randall Cobb and Jordy, just pros. But he's, I think, I'm going to go with Devontae, number one, underrated in the Wisconsin area.
You guys can tweet us at 105.7FM, the fan. Use the hashtag CWTickets. We'll have more of those throughout the show. Eric Name coming up 8:35. Chuck and Winkler here on the fan. Want to remind you that today the Friday Fish Fry is available at Perkins, and tomorrow, the day that you all have been waiting for, Saturday evening, where kids eat free at Perkins, no matter what their name is, even if it's young Sebastian Freeman.
Yeah, Sebastian.
No matter what your kid's name is.
I've nothing wrong with Sebastian today. I'm saying 30 years ago, Sebastian might not go over with in the neighborhood.
Cruel Intentions.
Today it does.
Ryan Phillippe was Sebastian.
That I did not know.
Guy's getting tons of chicks in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Okay. As far as Perkins, kids eat free tomorrow after 4 o'clock. You get a meal, they'll get a free meal. That's on Tuesdays and Saturdays. Remember to check out their Strawberry Freshtival, where there are strawberries all over your favorite options, including in the breakfast hours, the fresh strawberry croissant French toast, and the fresh strawberry buttermilk pancake platters. Chuck and Winkler, check them out at Perkins. That's who we're served up by here on The Fan. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart, that's Chuck. Our Bucks coverage brought to you by Hupie and Abraham. Injured? Call Hupie and Abraham. Voted best, rated best, year after year. Visit Hupie.com today. And by the Q Club of Wisconsin, your home to watch all the playoff action. Enjoy their huge indoor game room on Facebook. You can check them out. Or QClubofWI.com. Does it almost seem like this is not really happening? Like, the Bucks, I'm getting goosebumps just as I'm building to this moment here. The Bucks have game two of the Eastern Conference Finals tonight. They are largely expected to win this series. You've got the Golden State Warriors, the class of the league for the last 5 years, up 2-0. It almost seems like, for as good as like they are and they deserve it, and it just still, there's a level of surrealness to what's actually happening with our team.
Well, in other years, here's where we're at. We're talking about the NBA draft lottery still, which happened 3 days ago.
Like a year ago yesterday, Mike Budenholzer was hired.
Yeah.
So we were in that part of the offseason where the Bucks needed a head coach, and now they still have at minimum, four or five games left in their season at minimum?
Yeah. But most of the time over the years, we've been talking about, you know, the lottery and where and who the Bucks should draft. All right, we'd be going through that, but here we are, May 17th. I'm not even thinking about Memorial Day right now. You know, usually I'm thinking, oh, what am I doing Memorial Day weekend? Usually I take that Friday off. I'm going to be here with you. It's going to be after game five, possibly, unless the Bucks finish up early. And, yeah, I'm thinking all Bucks all the time. It's great. It's this. I've been jealous of all these teams over the years that have been in the playoffs, watching them, because watching the Eastern Conference Finals, watching the Western Conference Finals, watching the pre-rounds, just thinking, God, I wish that was us. That would be so fun if it was us. And now it is finally us. It is finally us, man. I love the NBA playoffs. I know you do too. But it was always us sitting on the outside watching other teams play. You know, and now we're a player in this. And to hear our team brought up and see TNT broadcasting from the Deer District doing one of my favorite shows and talking about the Bucks and hear Barkley mentioning the Bucks as the NBA champs. Yeah, it is surreal. Instead of him trashing Milwaukee like he had been for years and years and years. he had been trashing Milwaukee. I'm saying on TNT.
Shaq in the
How
crowd.
Many times over the years has he made fun of Milwaukee?
Yeah.
Yeah, and this has been a good spotlight for our... Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
It's been a great spotlight for the city, too.
Oh, it's been awesome, man. It is. Just to have these guys broadcast from here and, you know, the national attention our great city has gotten, not only with the Bucks, but the Brewers, too, what they did last year, but the Bucks band, and it's only beginning. We got three or four more weeks of this.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. And what's going to be wild is to see, because the last few years, when you watch the NBA playoffs, it's been like a different league. You've got the Bucks do their thing, and then they're done. And then you've got the Warriors and the Cavs and the Rockets and the Celtics, whatever. Now you're a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see the game last night, that bright yellow that's so iconic with Oracle, and it's their last run there for the Warriors. And the Bucks, I mean, could have three games there coming up in a couple of weeks in the NBA Finals with all the attention, all the hoopla that goes with it. With the NBA Finals, you could have Golden State, this mighty power, maybe one of the best teams ever, and then the Milwaukee Bucks square off each other. Now, again, are we getting ahead of ourselves? I'm going to say no, because the Bucks aren't going to lose this series.
But they're in that company,
right? They're in that company, and I would still, I still can't. I'm rooting for the Bucks, just to clear that up, because apparently that's a issue of concern on the big show.
Were you rooting for Portland last night?
I was.
So was I.
I'm rooting for Portland. Course, yeah. My dad sends me a text. Yeah. What's going on? Yeah. Portland. And I send him the gif of Giannis with the bobblehead.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for Portland. So that was a close game last night, but Golden State pulls away. Durant's not playing in three or four. Durant could miss this. He could miss the NBA Finals. There's some worry that he's not going to play maybe ever as a Warrior again. I think if you get them without Durant, it's very possible. As much as I think the Bucks are terrific, I don't know if you beat Golden State with a healthy Durant.
I think you can. I think you can either way. I really do.
And they've had guys, their bench has been weak, but they're stepping up now.
And
Looney's look good.
I don't think we know the full story about Durant and how hurt he really is. And we're getting bits and pieces of it from Kerr and the Warriors and some of these other media members who are reporting it, but I don't think we know really how much Durant is hurt. Maybe he's just a smokescreen. Maybe he's saying he's coming back for this game or this game. Maybe he's really gone for a long time. We don't know. But it just seems bizarre that, you know, he continues to sit out these games and you know, this injury might be worse than it really is. Yeah, past years watching the playoffs part, I'd watch Golden State and Houston and San Antonio and say, oh, the Bucks aren't in that league. Look how far away we are from the Bucks. And even Boston last year who beat the Bucks in a 7-game series, or the Cavaliers when LeBron was there. You'd say, God, the Bucks could not compete in a series with these guys. But now you can legitimately say, yeah, we're not only can compete, but we're better than those teams. We are part of the picture. We have a seat at the party.
With Bucks Golden State, if it gets to that point, I don't think it goes any less than six. I don't know. You know, if the Bucks steal one in Golden State, then anything's possible.
I think they can. I really do. I think they can. They can. You know, they got to win this series first. Let's not take Toronto. I think this is
nobody bring this up if the Bucks lose by like 15 tonight.
Yeah. No, I think, but this is what we can't do.
Just let us have this.
But this is what we can't do. And the Bucks didn't play well the other night, and still they won. But we can't, as Bucks Nation here and Bucks fans, and even you and I, you know, we're fans and we do the show here, and we cannot get to thinking that this series is over already. You know, the fans still got to get into it. The Bucks need to play well to win this series. The fans, the Bucks need the fans' support. Get as loud as ever. I mean, the Bucks have to do some work yet. They got a lot of work to do yet to win this series. They got some tough games coming up in Toronto. They got to win tonight. Tonight's not going to be easy. So, long way to go before Golden State. Not that we don't think the Bucks can do it, but they got some work to do.
Oh, I have an official announcement. I have stopped being like fan police guy. You guys are doing great at those games. I'm also going to stop yelling at people to put their t-shirts on because it's just not happening. I saw Alex Lazzari tweet a picture of himself, how nervous he was during game one. He ain't have his shirt on.
Oh, Lazzy didn't?
Yeah, no. So if Lazzy ain't putting his shirt on, then you guys don't have to.
Well, they're shaming people. You've seen that, right?
Well, they should shame Lazzy.
They're shaming people.
Put your shirt on.
A PA guy who loses a job, he shames Lazzy.
Thanks for all you've done.
Yeah.
But put your shirt on, Al.
Alski wasn't wearing the shirt?
Alski wasn't wearing the shirt.
Okay.
The guy next to Alski wasn't wearing the shirt. The guys in the rows behind him weren't wearing the shirt.
Was Edens?
I don't know.
Was Wes?
I'd have to look. I don't know if Edens was wearing the shirt.
Okay.
Got to wear the shirt.
Okay. Was old man Lazzy wearing his shirt?
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, Rogers didn't have the shirt on. He's an owner.
Yeah.
Steve Fonzarelli or whatever the hell that guy's name is. Mike Fusilini, what's that guy's name?
Yeah.
Mike Fusilli.
He's always got a short button down to his belly button.
Mike Frescatelli.
Yeah.
Mike Francescatelli.
I know, he's got the thick New York accent.
What am I talking about?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
That other guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Chuck and Winkler.
Fourth owner, I think.
Eric Name does not wear his shirt because he is bringing you coverage with the press. He will join us next, Chuck and Winkler, here on The Fan.
Sports Radio 105.7 of him, The Fan, Chuck and Winkler. I'm your boy, Freebs. It's my boy, Winks. We're getting after it today. Leading you up to the game two. Brought to you by Amazon. Amazon is hiring full-time delivery drivers in Sussex. Enjoy competitive pay while delivering packages to homes and retail locations. Deliver thousands of smiles with Amazon. Apply at amazon.com/driverjobs. Amazon's an equal opportunity employer.
That Amazon warehouse is so big.
Oh,
I drove by it the other day.
Oh, yeah. Printing money.
It's got its own zip code.
Yeah, no kidding, man. There's one across the border in Illinois, and there's one here. But that's good. Good for business.
Hey, good for business. Hey, Wisconsin is open for business.
We are.
Yeah, I made that up.
We are. Well, of course, we should be. Good business. Business is good.
Did you see the streetcar might go one more block further?
Another addition?
Yeah, that's big.
Where?
Oh, like around the...
Is it going to Fiserv?
I think it might.
But that's just for the DNC, right?
Well, or they're not going to build it and tear it back down.
No. I'm just saying they're not going to do that till the DNC.
Oh, yeah. Now they're not going to do it by, like, tonight's game.
Yeah, I'd be nice if they did. Give people a little break, a little foresight in that.
Bucks-Raptors game two, covering it for The Athletic as he's done all season. Our friend Eric Name, who joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Coach Name!
Namesy!
My boy Winks, my boy Freems. What's up, fellas?
I like it.
What's happening, Namesy, son?
Not much, man. I'm just hanging out, waiting for game two.
Yeah, no kidding, man. Bucks will have a little shoot around beforehand today. You know, people always ask me, when they say they have a little shoot around, what they do before a game, those guys get in there, Namesy, and you've been to a lot of these, where they go get a little sweat going before their game.
Yeah, and you want to get a little sweat going. You want to get some shots up. Most guys have, a routine that obviously the coaching staff has kind of prepared for them, but also it's kind of up to them as well, like what shots they really want to get in and what they want to get done. And, many times we've all talked about and heard about how crazy Giannis is. I think he takes that very serious and, wants to get a certain number of shots in and all that. So, all those guys get in and, try to get themselves ready for the game.
Yeah, and it usually happens early in the morning. Well, not early, mid-morning, 10, 10:30, 11 o'clock, and then they go home, and then they come back again.
Yeah, typically you want to get it done, go get yourself a nap, or at least that's what most players do, is go get a...
Yeah, nap.
Naps are huge. As someone on the NBA beat, they're big for me, too. I definitely take a nap after shoot around most game days. So, you got to get your body right and do what you can to be ready to go for the game.
So I've got, maybe it's some bad news. Maybe there's some good news in this. Chuck, I canceled The Athletic.
You did? Yeah. After you've been promoting it for all these years?
Yeah, I did, because I read Eric's last article about how the Bucks defended Kawhi in game one. And I had initially subscribed to The Athletic on a discount. Mm-hmm. So I canceled it and I resubscribed to make sure I paid full price to get the quality work that Eric Name is putting out.
Don't believe that.
As The Athletic. You did such a good job. If you could explain to our contingent here about explaining in your piece, and the video component is so good too, about how the Bucks were able to defend Kawhi Leonard and then the way that they might try to continue to do that in this series. So not only did I enjoy your article, but I canceled and resubscribed to your service to pay you the fee that you so rightly deserve.
I mean, the bad news is I don't think I'm going to see any more money because of it, but I do appreciate that you did it. But this Bucks team, they, going into this series, I thought, looking at the season finale, they had kind of figured out some things about against Kawhi and kind of what you want to do. And, you know, the big thing anytime you play Kawhi Leonard is he's such a tough shot maker that you have to limit the easy ones, that you can't let him get all the way to the rack, and you can't let him get to the free throw line. And the Bucks in that game, they gave up three shots at the rim to him. You can probably think of the moments in the game when he got one. It was the offensive rebound putback dunk at the end of the third quarter. It was the steal that he forced against Chris Middleton. And it was another backdoor layup that he had on Chris Middleton. And those were the three shots at the rim. And then they gave him 10 free throws, which is probably a little bit more than they would have wanted to, but still not a crazy number. It's not up near 20 or anything like that. So, you know, you limit him to 16 easy ones. And then the Bucks really made him work for everything else. And, you know, kind of the goal with Leonard is make him work just to touch the ball. And if you watch it, they gave 42 minutes, 13 seconds was how long Leonard was on the floor. And during those 42 minutes and 13 seconds, he had Chris Middleton or Malcolm Brogdon denying him the ball all over the floor. You'll see them running up to half court to keep it out of his hands. Just to touch the ball for Leonard was a chore. Like, that alone was tough. And then after that, I can't imagine doing this to another elite wing, but we've seen the Bucks do this with other people. I think the moment to highlight is Eric Bledsoe on James Harden earlier this year, where he just sat on the left hand and said, "You're going right." They don't go to quite that extreme with Leonard, but they do take away the right hand. If you watch Brogdon, if you watch Middleton, they're just simply not going to let him go right. And I kind of wished I could get some truth serum for those guys, because as they were talking about Leonard's game winner in game 7 against the Sixers, I just wanted to ask him, like, you guys would have forced him left, right? Because he's so much better going to his right. He can get to the pull-up jump shots that he likes. He can do all of that. Going to his left on the season on pull-up jumpers, he's shooting 35%, and that's what the Bucks are forcing. It's to the left, and then obviously you add in Brook Lopez at the rim, who is just fantastic in game one, and then you add Giannis flying around all over the place, and you have, you know, I mean, this is the league's best defense. It was the league's best defense throughout the entire season. And, you know, it wasn't a gimmick. Like, they have a lot of defensive talent. And you have two guys in Brogdon and Middleton that make them work really hard. And then everyone else on the team is loading up towards them. And it's just really tough for Kawhi Leonard.
Giannis didn't exactly have too many holes, too many gaps to dive through on Wednesday night. What did you see the Raptors did against him?
I think they did largely what everyone does against Giannis. You're going to load up against him. You're going to try to build a wall. And I'm really curious to see when the aggression gets turned up, because we saw with Giannis in the Celtics series, game one, game two, he was, I don't want to say passive because he's never passive, but he wasn't as aggressive as he was in games 3 through 5. And I think what we're seeing from Giannis in this playoffs is a level of maturity that I'm not sure everyone thought he had, because he's really doing a nice job sort of pacing himself as a series goes on. And figuring as much out as possible before he really turns it on. And I just thought in game one, there were moments where you think of that crazy finish he had where he like flipped his hand at the last moment. He was going to do a finger roll with his right hand, and then he flipped it overhand and hit that shot. Like, he went right at both Siakam and Gasol on that bucket. Like, it was a tough bucket in the fourth quarter. They needed it, and he was able to go through them. But we didn't really see him do that throughout game one. He picked his spots. He got as deep as he wanted to, and then he kicked out. And I just think as you see a series go on, he's going to get better and better. And I thought we saw it in the Celtics series where in game one and game two, like, he was figuring out where the passes were going to be, where the help was coming from, and he was trying to figure out how hard he could put his shoulder into Al Horford. And I think we're kind of seeing all of that here in this series as well. Like, I think maybe he'll turn the aggression up a little bit tonight. But I think largely you're going to see him kind of play make and kind of do some of the same things. And then I think in game three is when you see him kind of decide, all right, I'm going to dunk on you. And that's why after game one, I just kind of thought, like, I don't know how this Raptors team beats the Bucks 4 out of 6 times. Like, I just can't see a world where that exists, because Giannis is only going to get better as this series goes on, and he's only going to figure things out more. And then you get to a point in game 4 or 5 of a series with him where he's both figured out how to dunk on you and how to get all of his shooters open and where they're going to be open. And if he's making passes, if he knows all of those spots, like, I just don't know how you stop him. I'm really curious to see how much it gets turned up tonight and how much more aggressive he is and, how much more success he has at the rim. He's only 7 of 16 on the night the other night. I think there's more shot attempts to be had, and I think there's a better percentage to be shot as well.
Talking with Eric Name of The Athletic, forget winning 4 of the next 6, winning 1. The Raptors, for as well as they shot, and as poorly as the Bucks shot, and the Bucks still won that game by 8 points, I mean, I got to think that's a backbreaker of a game. I don't know if you're Nick Nurse, what you do differently to try to beat this Milwaukee team. I can't figure anything out.
Yeah, man, I struggle with that. I mean, I had Bucks in 5, and I can't imagine any. I can't imagine any other outcome, really. Like, maybe it. The Raptors don't manage to get one of the two in Toronto, but I know I mentioned that to Matt Velasquez when Brook Lopez got that shot at his, or he got that pass at his feet from Giannis and hits that 3 to make it 104-100, and I looked over at Matt and I was like, I think this series is over.
Yeah.
And he was like, all right, Paul Pierce, that's enough. And I was like, well, I predicted Bucks in 5 before the series, and I just think when you look at what they did in that game, like, it's really difficult, I think, to find a lot to really like about the Raptors and their tech. Like, I think Marc Gasol will shoot a little bit better, and maybe they can take advantage of the Bucks in the pick and pop a little bit more. I think Siakam could shoot better. Maybe they can take advantage of Giannis trying to cheat off of him as much as he does. But when you're thinking of how the Raptors win, like, you're putting together a lot of really good games, right? Like, you're thinking, like, okay, well, Marc Gasol's going to shoot better, and Pascal Siakam's going to shoot better, and, Kawhi Leonard is going to shoot better, and, well, okay, Kyle Lowry's not going to shoot better because he couldn't have shot better than he did in that game, so he regresses back to a normal, and then it's just like, okay, well, you had those 3 good performances, and Giannis didn't play all that well, and Bledsoe didn't play all that well, Middleton didn't really hit shots, like, there's a lot there for the Bucks to improve as well. So, going out of that game, I just thought that was the one that the Raptors had to have. Like, they had to have game one where the Bucks were trying to get their rhythm back, trying to figure everything out, and, maybe make this game two, where you apply a little bit of pressure where the Bucks need to get a win here. And they didn't do that. And again, we haven't seen the Bucks have a lapse yet where they relax, so I can't imagine it's coming tonight, but maybe that is something that happens where the Bucks are resting on their laurels a little bit, but it seems unlikely, right? So I kind of tend to agree with you. Like, I think I still think the Raptors can get one, especially at home, just because role players shoot better there, and you know, you're going to be able to get some better performances out of your others. But man, I just think it's really tough to put something together where this becomes a 7-game series. Like, I struggle to see it after game one.
You know, I don't expect Kyle Lowry to be shooting 7 of 9 from 3-point arc. And some of those guys who didn't play well, though, for Toronto, I think they're going to have better games. They should have better games in the series.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I think really, and kind of what I've seen from, you know, comments on my article and people on Twitter and stuff like this, is I think both teams think they're going to play much better in game two, which I don't think is crazy. Like, I think that's definitely something that could happen. But the big thing to remember in all this is, you know, you don't just get to have everyone else get better and those other guys that have good games stay good as well. Or, you know what I mean? Like, all of this kind of levels out. Like, you don't get to add a great Pascal Siakam game and a great Marc Gasol game and a great Danny Green game to the already great Kyle Lowry game. Like, you know, all of those things kind of work out. It's an ecosystem, and all of these things even out in some ways. So I think the Raptors are going to play better, but I also think the Bucks are going to play better in this one.
At what point does the Mirotić starting for Brogdon become not a story? So either is that what we're going to see now in each and every game, or is Brogdon eventually going to work his way back into that starting lineup?
I think it probably depends how much the Raptors feed Danny Green tonight.
I mean, Bogut started last night and he played 4 minutes, so I don't know, you know, who cares?
Yeah, and I mean, I think one of the things that we heard from the Raptors in the off day yesterday was that, you know, they got to do a better job getting Danny Green started. And I'm curious how committed to that they are. Like, I'm curious if they run him off a couple screens, if they do really try to go out there and get him some looks. Like, that forces the Bucks' hand a little bit. But this is something I tweeted yesterday. This is kind of where the Bucks feel inevitable. Okay, so you run some plays for Danny Green, right? And you force Nikola Mirotić off the floor. Congratulations, you've forced the Bucks to adjust to their starting lineup for the entire year. Like, the adjustment would be to start Malcolm Brogdon. So you've really forced the Bucks' hand here. Now they have to play their most used lineup and the lineup they trust the most. Or, you know what I mean? Like, it's just it's this impossible game with the Bucks where, okay, we forced you into this adjustment. Okay, great. That sounds awesome. We'd love to play Malcolm Brogdon more. Like, we're going to be really happy if we can start him and he can play 30-plus minutes, because that means he's getting healthier, and that means we can use the lineup that we use most the entire season. And then it's just like, okay, well, we're going to play Brook Lopez off the floor. Okay, that's fine. We'll just play Mirotić and move Brogdon into the starting lineup because, you know, we love both of those guys. They've started for both of us this year. And it's just like, no matter what you do with this Bucks team, like, the adjustment you're trying to get them to make, the Bucks are going to put someone on the floor that they like. So you just kind of get into the spot where it's like, what are you even trying to do? That was one of the things I was talking about during the Celtics series. Was, one, the Bucks aren't going to take Brook Lopez off the floor. He's proven again and again and again that he can play a million different ways, whether he's switching, whether he's high hedging, whether he's zone dropping on defense, whatever it is, he can play. So you're going to try to play Brook Lopez off the floor? Okay, fine, great. The Bucks will find a way through that. Like, they like those other guys. So I don't know. Like I said, there's times where I felt in this Eastern Conference, the Bucks feel inevitable, and it'll be different if they get to the finals and play the Warriors. But in the Eastern Conference, it's inevitable. That to me is just kind of what it feels like at this point.
Eric, appreciate it. We'll see you at the forum.
Thanks, Names,
and have a good one, buddy.
Sounds good. See you guys,
Coach Names, joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. You can find his work at The Athletic. Eric_NEHM on Twitter as well. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
So the Bucks are 6.5-point favorites tonight in this game. The line has dipped. Started at 7, went down to 6.5. I think people are buying in that the Raptors are going to keep this a little closer. I like to think that the Bucks are going to win. I just don't think it's a given that they're going to win this game tonight.
Do we not remember how poorly the Bucks shot and still won that game by 8?
No. I'm just saying. I just think we just can't think that automatically you roll the ball out in the court and the Bucks are going to beat any team.
You know, we haven't bet on a game in a while.
Yeah.
I don't want to bet on.
Well, why not? You seem to think the Bucks are going to win.
Yeah, I think they'll cover.
Okay,
but I don't want to bet on it. I do want your wallet though. If I could have your credit card.
You know what? You know what's funny about that?
What?
I left my credit cards and I left my wallet and I left all my money at home. And I'm thinking, I better have enough gas to get home today. Because I left it all. I left, because you know we're getting up in early morning. I left it all home. I don't have anything with me.
Do you need to spare a buck?
Well, I got to see which gas I have. I'm thinking about going out there and starting my car because I didn't, you know, hopefully I have enough gas to get home today. But I don't know. Do you ever have that feeling where you left everything at
home?
Just
drive off.
What do you mean just drive off?
Just fill up your tank and drive.
Well, that's the way you do business, Bart.
Fill up your tank, walk into the place, say, hey, I'll send you a check.
There you go.
See what they say.
Sure.
No, I want some money.
You would drive off. No, I know you would.
I would not.
Absolutely.
I would not.
Absolutely.
I did talk earlier this year about my desire to, if the Bucks win the finals, I would like to be a part of the chaos afterwards. As in, I would like to be someone that flips a car. And it was not well received by you when I initially brought it up.
No, that's not being a fan, flipping a car. That's being stupid.
Now, under the desire I have, I would never flip someone else's hard-earned money in a vehicle. What I wanted to do was to buy a junk car that we would then park on Wisconsin Avenue and then flip. So one of the guys I tweet back and forth with, Luke, has started a GoFundMe where he's trying to raise $2,000 to buy junk cars that we can then buy and flip after the NBA Finals. He has raised $0, and I thought you could be the first donation to help this fund.
No, I got a few other ways to celebrate other than flipping a car.
I'd like to flip a car.
You said you're not strong enough to even shoot a three-point shot. So how are you going to flip a car?
Well, I would be with other people. I'm not going to Braun Strowman this thing.
Yeah.
I would be with other people.
So this guy has zero.
This would be like a team.
You don't listen to Chuck and Winkler, you're going to get these hands.
It'd be like a team thing.
Yeah, this guy's got zero. So we park the car right in our parking lot out here and flip the thing?
No, you park it downtown. Front of the Pfizer.
Downtown.
Park
so it then, once we flip the car, then what happens?
Then somebody's going to have to clean it up, which then creates jobs.
Yeah. So jobs the cops don't want to have to.
The more chaos we create, the more jobs that are created.
No.
This great city when of ours.
If they win an NBA championship, there better not be chaos in this town. No, we don't need any of that. We don't need any excuse for that bull crap in this town. None of that. No turning over police cars. No turning over cars. No. No burning down the neighborhoods.
Oh, I'm not going to do anything fire related.
Nothing, none of that.
I just once in my God-forsaken life, I would like to experience a car flip.
Boy, that's unique, man. I've never thought of that ever. Never even crossed my mind.
I think it every time I look at your old beater.
You know what? My car would be a great candidate for it.
I know. Can I buy it?
I need a new muffler.
How much to buy your car?
I got
to
get a muffler eval soon here.
Just blue book pricing it with my eyes, Bart eye test. I'll give you $300.
$300? Boy, that's a lot. that's more. That's $299 more than I thought I'd get for that. But it's still rolling, baby.
How many miles you got on 260?
The odometer is stopping.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it stopped at 252.
Brian Scalabrine, longtime Celtic, now one of our Radio.com insiders. We'll talk Bucks, Raptors, Warriors, Blazers, NBA with the White Mamba next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.